Good morning, Woodstock Christian Church. It is so great to see all of your bright and smiling faces this morning. If you will bow your heads with me, and we will start this today's service with a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you for the place you've given us this morning that we could come here and worship you. And thank you for being in this house with us and just facilitating everything that goes on here. And we would just like to open today's service with the words that your Son gave us with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Good morning. In the story of the Last Supper, we get our practice of communion. 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25 says, "And when he had given, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. When Jesus did this, he was acutely aware of what was coming before him. It was less than a week before the cross, and he still made time to break bread with the people closest to him. This shows just how important this message was. John 22:14-16 says, "When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of heaven.'" He knew that suffering was to come, and so he instituted this tradition. We take the bread and the wine every week as a way of remembering what he did. This isn't a monument or some feat that Jesus accomplished, but a reminder of the price that was paid for our mistakes. He gave the most one could give so that we have the possibility of eternal life. That's what communion is. It's remembrance. Please bow your heads with me. God, please bless this communion as we take it and remember your son's sacrifice. You sent him here to take on flesh and then finally die for our sins. He offered his life in exchange for ours. We thank you for your mercy and ask you for forgiveness and grace as we honor this act. In your name, amen. Now, if you will, please join me in a prayer for our offering. God, just as we give thanks for you sending your son, we also give thanks in the form of our tithes and offering. Please bless this and use it for the furtherance of your kingdom. Just as you give us eternal life, we wish to give back so that others hear your word and feel your blessing. Thank you. In this we pray, amen.
Good morning. You all excited to be here?
Yes.
It's good to be at church. You know, during the COVID time when we couldn't go to church, it was difficult. And I'm just proclaiming it wonderful to be gathered in his house. So we're going to continue on this idea that God has some expectations for us. And you know, we place our expectations on everybody else. Yet we find it odd when he expects something out of us. Sometimes we're even a little offended. But today won't be so difficult. Because throughout the years, over and over and over again while you're at church, you're going to hear a lot of sermons on forgiveness. Don't you? How many sermons have you heard on forgiving others? You've heard a lot. I mean, that's something that we talk about, forgiveness, bitterness, and you're going to hear that, but not today. Not today. Today we're going to talk about something totally different. One sermon we do not hear a lot deals with another part of forgiveness, and that is that God expects you to forgive yourself. How can I forgive myself? You know, I believe one of the most difficult things we can do is that. Forgive ourselves. We know we're supposed to forgive other people. At least you say that. Sometimes it's hard because some of you are hard to forgive. You know, and But we can usually come around to doing it at some point. Forgiving ourselves, though, is a different issue. Because now we're the one who has hurt the other person. We've hurt other people. We're the one that feels like we've failed as a parent, or as a husband, or as a wife, or as a kid, as an employee, as a human being. We're the one that may have allowed substance abuse to ruin the lives of lots of people. We're the one that may have allowed adultery to come in and destroy our marriages. We're the ones that have addictions to pornography. And we're the ones that have, problems with gambling or problems with lying or whatever it may be. We're the ones that have that. And we know that we've done wrong. We've hurt other people, destroyed the lives of them, and we want to hang on to that guilt. Because we feel like hanging on to the guilt, we're somehow making what we've done right. We think if we feel bad enough about it, that it makes it okay. When we've sinned against others, it's hard for us to feel like we should be forgiven. Guilt overtakes us, and a lot of times it drags us down for our whole life. Sometimes we've done things to people that have since died, and we didn't have a chance to make it right. And we carry that feeling somehow, if we just hold on to that hurt long enough, it'll make up for not making it right before they died. How many people do you know who allowed not being able to forgive destroy them? Not to be able to forgive themselves destroy them. Or seriously hurt their life. And maybe you're struggling with forgiving yourself today over some past problem. Well, today we're going to look at how we can forgive ourselves. Ourselves. There comes a time when we need to be able to forgive ourselves and learn from our mistakes and then get on with life. Because if there's anything I've learned, next month I'm going to hit the big 5-0. They've already sent me the AARP envelope. It's kind of scary. But if there's anything I've learned, is that no matter what happens, no matter what I do or somebody else does, that clock doesn't stop. And life just continues on. So there comes a point in time where God says, I would rather you not suffer and enjoy the rest of your life. But we bring our suffering on ourselves. Because carrying guilt with you will not fix anything, will it? You can't undo the past. Instead, it's only going to hurt you. It will not change it. It'll hurt you. You can't make the past right by feeling guilty. Now today we're going to look at Psalms 103. So if you have a Bible and you want to turn there or on your phone, you can. Or you can read it off the screen. It's totally up to you. But we're going to look at how we forgive ourselves, because in order to forgive, the first thing you got to do is adjust your view of God, because some of our views of God are a little messed up. We have our own idea what God is and who He is. And one of the things I believe that keeps us from allowing ourselves to be forgiving is the fact that we have the wrong view of Him. Because if we're going to be able to forgive ourselves, we've got to adjust that view. And maybe we will feel like God is out to get us. You ever felt that way? God's just out to get me. Or that He doesn't love us. Maybe we think God is some mean guy who likes to extract punishment on us. People feel that way. And I believe that the reason some negative images of God have come along is because we've learned it in our childhood. We acquired them from church. You know that mean church lady? Anybody ever remember? Or maybe it was a mean church guy who would just blast you, you know. And when we were going to church in Chilhowie, we had the rule, you couldn't take anything to drink in the sanctuary. That was the thing, because it was sanctuary, whatever that means. But we had this guy, Montgomery. Montgomery was a little challenged. Well, Montgomery was about 30 years old, and he's walking around with his orange juice, and Montgomery was walking in, and this lady named Ada got all over him. Well, I met him after the fact. He was coming around the corner. He said, Kirby, that Ader woman's mean. Well, maybe that shapes his view of God. And maybe he carries that on along, like it's like somebody's been mean to me. And maybe God wants to be mean to me and punish me and not let me take my orange juice into church. It could be any kind of authority figure. Because God is the authority and we equate that. We're going to look at the passage in Psalms and we can see a few things about God that allow us to adjust our view. So Psalms 103 verses 10 through 14. He does not treat our sins, treat us as our sins deserve. Well, that's a good thing. Or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, and he remembers that we are dust. So the first thing I want to look at is some things that God is not, so that we can adjust our view. God is not a cruel judge. This passage tells us that God has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. He has not given us what we deserve. And a lot of us think that God can't wait to pay us back. I'm glad. I'd be in trouble. How many of you parents to punish your children? Do you want to? Because if you really want to, I need to see you after church. We need to talk. You know, nobody wants to have to punish their children. It breaks our hearts when we have to do it, doesn't it? It breaks our heart. It hurts our feelings. You know, my dad used to say, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And I was thinking, you're crazy, dude. But now that I'm a parent, I realize it. It's true. It hurts us in a deep, deep way to do that. But if it doesn't hurt you to do that, I need to see you. And God's the same way. I'm thankful that God does not give us what we deserve. If a person steals and gets caught, the judge will sentence him according to the law. If you do the crime, you pay the time, right? Well, you used to. I don't know about today. But God is not waiting to drop a guilty verdict on you. He's not sitting there waiting with a gavel saying, you're guilty. He doesn't want to do that. If you stand before God guilty, it's because you refuse to accept what Jesus did for you on the cross. You know, a cruel judge would be glad to have you pay for your sins. Have you ever sat on a jury where there was a cruel judge? You know, I can remember one time in particular where the judge didn't like the verdict of innocence that the jury came out with, and he chewed the jury out because he wanted them to be guilty. And maybe he knew something they didn't. But he loved the idea of putting somebody in their place. But you see, God has done everything he can to make sure you don't have that happen. That you don't have to pay for your sins. Because God is not a legal accountant. Do you know that? He is not a legal accountant. Matter of fact, it says in 1 Timothy, it says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He doesn't want you to be guilty. He wants everybody to come and stand before him and say, well done, good and faithful servant. He wants us all to do that, but we choose not to. Just like we choose not to forgive ourselves. So God is not a legal accountant. He doesn't keep track of everything. In verse 10, it says, tells us that God has not rewarded us according to our iniquity. And a lot of people think he can't wait to pay us back. You know, we really don't. We think that in a fact that, you know, there's no way that he would not want to pay us back for what we do. We believe that God is a God who never forgives and never forgets. Have you ever talked to that person? Have you been that person? Because an accountant is someone who keeps the books for a business. And it's the accountant's job not to overlook any money coming in and out. And you want your accountant to be meticulous in their work unless you're stealing money. And when you belong to Jesus, God doesn't keep record of your sins so he can extract payment from you in the future. He doesn't keep a ledger. I know people who have had the government come back to them and ask for repayment for their taxes after years. The government accountant's finally caught up with you. For the Christian, God does not, you know, all of a sudden come up with a past debt that you owe to keep you out of heaven. He's not going to suddenly go, oh, wait a minute, you're here. Remember what you did when you were 32 on day 62 when you said this to so-and-so? You didn't ask me for forgiveness for that. I'm glad he doesn't do that, aren't you? We'd all be in trouble. You know, he'd probably say, remember on February 5th, 2023, when you were in church and you were thinking bad thoughts about the preacher? You know? But we're told in verse 12 that he has removed those sins as far as the east is from the west. He has removed our transgressions. The slate is clean. Acts 2:38 says when we are immersed into Christ, our sins are forgiven. Forgiven. But we carry them around. We do. He doesn't. He's also not a cruel taskmaster. Any of you ever worked for one of those? The view God that all he does is give us rules that we can't keep so that he can beat us into submission. Many people resist God because they think that God is all he's got to do is ruin their fun. I don't know about you all, but I have a pretty good time as a Christian. I don't need the world's way. They think that God is someone who wants to give them an impossible set of rules to live by. Is that true? Is it an impossible set of rules? All right, but here's the real truth. It don't matter how many rules, if it was two or three, we would still mess it up. Because we're human. But he doesn't give us an impossible set of rules. He gives us his word to live by, and his word, we find true freedom. If we try to live according to this, we find freedom. And doesn't that sound nice? Matter of fact, Jesus himself said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It seems to me that in the great land of America, the free, we are the biggest people who are slaves to our sins. We're free, but we're not. It's not God's goal for you to be miserable. Do you know that? He wants you to be free. We need to change our view of God and understand that he is a God of love. A God of love. We need to know that God loves us. Do you know that? I know we say it. God loves me. But do you really know it? You know, verse 11 of Psalms 103 tells us that God shows his loving kindness towards those who fear or respect him. Fear or respect him. There's a big plus to that, isn't it? When kids disrespect you, your children disrespect you, that's when you have to really hold yourself back, right? Well, we disrespect God by the things that we choose to do sometimes. Matter of fact, but because he's a God of love, Paul wrote this in Romans 8. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing you do will change his love for you. It's just like you and me with our kids. They do stuff. They're kids. And we still love them, don't we? And God's no different. He still loves us. Even though we rebel and we do things that we shouldn't. When a parent sets guidelines for their children, it's because they love the child. They want to protect the child. And God's the same way. There's nothing in this book that is not there for your good. However, like our children, they can walk away and deny themselves our love, can't they? Can't your children just decide that they just don't want anything to do with you anymore and walk away? You can do the same thing with God. He doesn't stop loving you, but you don't have to accept it. You can choose to walk away from God, but it'd be a choice that you made, not Him. We don't stop loving kids, and He wouldn't stop loving us. And our kids, even if they walk away from us, we would accept them back in an instant. And God's the same way. The same way. He's waiting on His children to come back to Him. Because God is a God of forgiveness. You know, we think that of God, the word forgiveness comes to mind, doesn't it? As Christians, naturally, we think forgiveness. It should be one of the first things we think of Him. But the writer of Hebrews says this, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary." Did you catch that? Where these have been forgiven, where I have forgiven you, there is no need for any more sacrifice because I already did it. Don't think that since God went to the trouble that He did to forgive your sins through the blood of Jesus that He would want you to be forgiven. Don't you think so? I mean, He didn't go to the trouble to go to the cross for you to walk around and carry that. He says, "I've already done the sacrifice. You quit sacrificing and carrying this around." He went to all that trouble so that you wouldn't have to walk around feeling that way. You know, you remember that verse 12 tells us He moved it as far as from the east to the west. It's a long ways. But He's also a God of compassion. A God of compassion. In verse 13, you know, it tells us that He had compassion for His children, and He has compassion on those that respect Him. And the key to receiving compassion from God is for you to belong to Him. You have compassion for your children. But He's also a God of grace and holiness. The whole reason God can forgive us of our sins is because of His grace. When you give your life to Jesus, you will still sin. How many of you, since you became Christians, have still sinned? Yeah. Once or twice? Today? You know. You still sin. Yet, grace makes the difference. When you fall short, God's grace makes you pure and takes you the rest of the way. Excuse me. God's holiness is the reason that our sins even matter to Him. Do you understand that? Because He is holy, He is perfect. He can't stand to be in the presence of sin. And because of that sin and His holiness, He had to be graceful. If it didn't matter to Him, we wouldn't need the grace, would we? But because it matters so much, because He's without sin, He can offer us grace. And the grace of God allows us to stand before Him sinless. Doesn't that sound nice? It's so important that as children of God that we accept the forgiveness that God offers you. We talk about it, but do we really accept it? Sometimes, and the reason we don't accept His forgiveness is because we don't forgive ourselves. And instead we carry around this guilt and this shame. But we say we do, and we proclaim to be forgiven. We sing songs about how great the Father's love that forgives us, yet we hold on to our guilt, and it drives us down into these deep, dark places. Into these places where we end up in self-pity and depression, and we just can't seem to get out of it because of the guilt and shame that we carry around on us. And I want you to think about how this must frustrate God. It must frustrate Him to no end to see His children clinging on to guilt when He has done something about it for us on the cross. You know, it's got to frustrate your Heavenly Father to see you wallowing around in your guilt and your self-pity when He did something about it, something that cost Him His Son. God has removed your sin. We see that in verse 12. Told that God has removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. Why should you carry what God has already taken from you when you gave your life to Jesus? Why should you carry it around? Trying to carry what God has removed just doesn't make sense, does it? Plus, it tells God that what Jesus did is not good enough to take your sin away. You've got to carry it around. It's God's job to forgive us. It's our job to forgive it, to accept it, and forgive ourselves. We're all guilty of saying, "I know, but you don't know what I've done." Have you ever said that? How many people I've said, they come through the door for the first time after years, and they're surprised that the roof doesn't fall in because of guilt. "You don't know what I've done." Well, you don't know what I've done. That's usually my answer. And I'm not telling you. Yeah. Oh, but people love to tell me. And I'm like, "You know you don't have to tell me this, right? I'm not a Catholic priest. I know. I don't need to know all this. But even though you told me, it's not going to change the way I think about you." And it won't. It won't. Unless it's Leslie telling me. You know. But I mean, really. Think about how that has to frustrate God. That you come and say, "I don't know what, you don't know what I've done." "No, I don't. But God does. And He forgives you of that just like He does everything else. Just like He's forgiven me of everything I've done." It's like trying to rub out a spot on our shirt that's already been taken off. You ever done that? You know, get some, I'm good at it. Get a big spot on your shirt about right here. You go and you get the shout, and spray it all on there, and you throw it in the washing machine. You get out, and the first thing you do is look if that spot's still on there. It's like trying to remove something that's already been took out. God's already taken that sin away, and we're still looking to see if air. We're still looking to see if it's still there. You know, God has removed your sin. You know what? God has forgotten your sin too, and Hebrews 10:17 says so. We're told that God has forgotten our sins, but we want to hold on to them. We do that with sin. We remember that God has forgotten and forgiven. Now it's true when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. When we stand before the judge, everything we've done, good and bad, is going to come before us. Oh, I dread that day. Don't you? Oh, man, I don't want to see that stuff. And a lot of it, something's going to go by and you go, "I don't remember that." And some of us, you go, "Oh, yeah, I remember that one." But after He's done that, if you belong to Jesus, He's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on into paradise with me. I've forgiven you of all that." I think that's going to be part of the great joy of that day, is knowing that He forgave me of all that stuff. Even though I've forgotten and I've moved on, and He showed me all of this, and then He said, "It's gone. One last time, I'm going to show you just how much I love you, because I forgive you of all of this. And if they were to put them in piles, some of us would have some big old piles. And it won't matter, because it'll all be gone. You know, you're forgiven and free from the punishment you deserve. So you know what? You should enjoy your freedom. Shouldn't you? You should enjoy your freedom. God went to a lot of trouble and pain to save us. Don't you think it wants us to enjoy our freedom that we have in Him? I want you to think about these next three things, and I'll be quick because I know you're hungry. Here's the thing. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. A condemned person cannot enjoy freedom. If you're in jail, you don't enjoy freedom because you don't have any. In Christ, there is no condemnation. Romans 8, 1, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's not that you can't be condemned, but if you're in Jesus, you are not. You know, I did a lot of things that were not good in my life before I became a Christian. And guess what? I've done some pretty bad stuff since then. And you have too. And I know some of you did a lot more than me. And some of you a lot less. Have you ever sat back and let the feeling of being forgiven sink in? It feels good to be forgiven, doesn't it? It feels good. You know, I spoke about sitting around the dinner table last week with my dad after you'd done something bad. You know, you dreaded going because you know you were guilty and you were going to sit at the dinner table. But one of the great things about Kirby Lloyd Sr. is once he had dealt with you, however he dealt with you, and sometimes it was really dealing with me, when you sat down at supper, he never brought it up again. Ever. He has never once in my life brought up something I did in my past. My mama, on the other hand, she won't tell everybody what I did in my past. But my dad never brings it up. Ever. And he wouldn't. That's the way our Heavenly Father is. He doesn't want to remind you over and over and over again how rotten you've been. You know, it feels good to be forgiven. It feels amazing to be forgiven. So, if we can seriously understand that and really get it, we need to know that Christ died to make us free. And in Galatians 5:1 it says, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Don't pick it up and carry it with you again. Be free. Jesus died so you could be free. Free of that sin and of that problem. Free. Enjoy being free of it. We've had young men and women die in the Middle East so that they could be free. And wouldn't it be a real shame if they just chose not to enjoy that freedom? We had men and women die so this country could be free, and it's a real shame if we don't enjoy our freedom in the United States because of the sacrifice of those people. So what's the difference between that and Jesus dying so that we can be free and enjoy our life of freedom without sin? Free. We talk about freedom, but do we really want it? You know, we paid a great price to set all these people free. And Jesus paid a great price to set you free. When you don't forgive yourself, you're subjecting yourself to the yoke of slavery that Jesus freed you from. God made us, knows us, and loves us just right where you are. And if you're carrying the guilt of the past with you, today's the day to get rid of it. Let it go. Feeling guilty of the things God has forgiven will not be of any benefit to you. It will not make you a better person. It's a bit of a slap of the face of God for us to tell God that Jesus' death was not good enough for our sins to be forgiven. Learn from your past sins, but don't let them drag you back down into the gutter. You don't forget them. In fact, remembering them and how awful they were helps us from doing it again, and instead embrace the power of God. You can remember your sins, but do not allow Satan to gain a foothold in your life, because you cannot forgive what God has already forgiven. Forgive yourself. If you're having trouble releasing the guilt of past sins, we invite you to come forward this morning so we can help you allow yourself to be forgiven. To be forgiven. God loves you, and He's forgiven you if you belong to Jesus. Forgiving ourselves is the hardest thing there is to do. And Jesus died on the cross so you could do that too. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. And Lord, if there is someone here who is struggling with guilt and shame over something in their past that you've already forgiven them for, I pray, Lord, that you help them to raise their arms and give it to you and let it go, so that they can enjoy the grace and mercy that comes from knowing that you loved us enough to die for us. Lord, help us to examine ourselves and see that you have forgiven us, and we need to forgive ourselves. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, of all the times in my life that I've been rotten, and there's been one or two, I'm reminded that Jesus sat on a cross, beaten, mocked, nailed up there, hanging. And even before anybody said, "I'm sorry," he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He forgave. And all they had to do was say, "Thank you for forgiving me." Not, "I'm sorry," but "Thank you for forgiving me." How many of us are just like that? We've never said, "God, I'm sorry." Yet he's saying, "I forgive you." If you've never experienced what it's like to be truly forgiven, today is your opportunity to come forward, confess him as Lord, and be baptized into Christ, receive the Holy Spirit, and know what true forgiveness is. But for most of you in the room or online, you've already done that, and you're still struggling to forgive yourself. No matter what it is, If you've confessed it and asked the Lord to forgive you, he's done it. And maybe today you need to say, "Thank you for forgiving me. And because you forgive me, Lord, I'm going to live my life free. And I'm going to live it to the fullest because of what you did for me. Not because I deserve it, but because you did it for me." He loved you that much. He loves you that much. You just need to accept it, embrace it, and live it. If you've got a decision to make, you make it as we stand and sing. Dead of night.
you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
All right. I want to thank everybody for coming out and worshiping with us. Hey, you know, it is really good to celebrate the forgiveness we have in Jesus. But when we leave here is when it really matters. And I say this every week and I mean it. This is not church. You guys are the church. So when you leave here, go be the church and show people Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Don't just be nice. Tell them he loved them enough to die for them. Now we got some announcements. First one is Soul Sisters is starting up on Valentine's Day. I got off the hook for Valentine's Day. She's going to be in a meeting. Yeah, right. But anyway, they're going to meet on the 14th at my house in 224 Julia Lynn Lane in Ackworth. If you want to be a part of that, you can call her, or she's standing back there, and she'll let you know a little about it. Then next, Lynn's got his Sunday night Zoom class. They're studying Paul and his life and teaching. You can there's a book out there if you want it. You can also go out there and get it, or you can call Lynn. And then we're doing the Bags of Love. This is going, we're starting to gain some book bags and stuff for the homeless in Atlanta. If you want to bring a bag or two, we're going to do it the whole month of February, and we'll take it down to Safe House and make sure that those people have something. And then we've got the girls' time out. Now, this is going to be a lot of fun. They're going to go eat supper after they do their event. But you notice the first one is axe throwing. I am not going. I would be a moving target. So, nope, I'm not doing it. But if you're interested in that, you can see Leslie, and she'll get you. Patty Young. Patty, raise your hand. See Patty. Laurel is in the nursery. Or Brandy's in the back, too. Lori, or you can see Kathy. Yep, they all got together, and they're planning these events, and I'm not allowed to go. So it's girls' time out.
And I'm the one that wants to throw the axes.
Yeah, that's the reason me and Dennis are going somewhere else.
And it's for women of all
ages. Yeah, women of all ages. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. If you can talk, or if you can't throw an axe, you can go and just hang out and talk.
And laugh
at them, because I'm going to watch some videos and laugh. So. All right, no blood, no stitches. Now, tonight we have the chili cook-off. If you looked online, I made a lot of chili yesterday, and mine is not in the competition. Mine is for everybody to get a bowl, so you know. But we're going to have hot dogs, and there's how many, 10 or 11 or 12 chili bowls coming? Yeah, we don't need anything else, and we're all going to gain some weight tonight. Yeah, everybody come out and hang out and try everybody's chili, and no surprise, we're going to tell you if it's got deer or something in it now, I promise. Well, we may even put some, you know, this is going to burn your brains out stuff on there too. So, but come on out, we're going to have hot dogs too, and it's really about the fellowship. You know, one of the big things about the early church was is they got together and they fellowshipped. They spent time together. Because we can't help each other through life if we don't know you. So, yes. Yeah, don't show up at 4 o'clock and think we'll have chili ready. Yeah, so everybody can get set up, and you know, we want everybody to get a fair chance, and you're going to get a ticket, and you can taste everybody's chili, and then you're going to vote with a ticket. We have prizes for the winners. Yeah, it's going to be fun. All right, so who doesn't like chili and hot dogs? If you don't like chili and hot dogs, you'll eat pie. So, all right, All right, we don't have any other announcements. If you're visiting with us today and it's your first time, would you go out there and see Leslie today? She has a gift for you. And we're just glad you came out to see us. This is a pretty good group of people for a bunch of Christians, you know. I love this church, and I mean this when I say it. If you're going through a struggle and you're in that place where you're carrying guilt and shame and you need some help to kind of overcome it, call me and let me know. We can't help you if you don't call me. If you don't let me know, we can't help. All right. I'll be up here for a little while afterwards, and Kenny's going to dismiss us.
Please bow your heads with me. Dear God, thank you for Kirby and the message that he shared with us today. And just thank you for all of these events coming up. And just look over all of us as we go about our time doing all of that. And just be with us this week as we go out and share your world, share your word with the world. And just watch over all of us as we live our lives for you. In Jesus' name, amen.